Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Wacky Wednesday on the Arrowhead Attic channel. As always, I'm Adam Best, joined by the golden voice of Sterling Holmes and producer Richard doing his thing behind the scenes. Sterling, men in shorts, practicing. Are you excited?
I'm stoked. Best, you're best shape of your life season, baby. It's awesome. Come on, this is the type of year, the time of year when you see Justin Ross in shorts and a t-shirt running up a hill and you say, that dude's going for 1,210. It's that type of season, baby. Let's go.
You know the distracted girlfriend meme where you have the guy, exactly. The guy walking with his girlfriend looking back at another girl. That's a guy walking with Kadarius Toney looking back at Justin Ross. That's what we have right now with the Kingdom.
It's pretty apt. Pretty apt. But no, I'm excited. Mahomes is there. It makes me happy that you see a leader like Patrick Mahomes, who's there at OTAs, wasn't asked to be there, but he's there. We've heard his comments, right? We've heard about his comments basically saying he doesn't care about being the highest paid QB in the NFL. He's talking about legacy, this, that, and the other. But then you see Lamar Jackson, on the other hand, there was that whole offseason drama between him and the Ravens, the will they, won't they. They finally got something done. Highest AAV in the NFL, and he wasn't there for the first couple days of OTAs. He's there today, but again, some of that may have come from, hey, dude, you better be there. The backlash isn't great. Mahomes doesn't have to be asked. He just does. That, my friends, is fantastic. You have that. That's what you're rooting for here in Kansas City.
And he's not like Aaron Rodgers either, where he has to have his friends with him and he doesn't want to work out during the summer with rookie receivers. He can't be bothered with that. Mahomes flies everyone down to Texas. I mean, even guys like Corey Coleman that really didn't have much of a chance to make the team, he's inviting everyone down there, kind of just infusing that hangout with camaraderie. And I think that's, all you can ask for. He goes above and beyond at all times.
Before we get into more Chiefs talk and a new segment, if you guys want to do us a huge, huge solid, go to DraftKings. If you like to bet, use code Arrowhead. And if you bet $5 on any sport, you get $150 back in bonus bets instantly, win or lose. That is code Arrowhead at DraftKings. New customers only, 21 plus and physically present in Kansas. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Valid one offer per customer. Minimum $5 deposit and $5 wager required. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets and expire 7 days after being awarded. See full terms at DraftKings.com.
And if you're listening to this on the Arrowhead Addict podcast feed, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more original content. We are constantly creating short videos over here to keep you entertained and informed during the offseason. So there's just some stuff that you can't get from Arrowhead Addict any other place. Be sure to do that. With that said, let's move on to the new segment. We're calling this Chiefs Crystal Ball. Got to get the alliteration in there. And like I said, there's not much to break down when players are practicing while wearing shorts. So, Sterling, let's play fortune tellers with the team's future. We're going to go through this 10 questions. And last week, we were a little long-winded at times. You know, this is a very experimental show here on Wednesday. So, necessity is the mother of invention, right? So today, we have a five-minute timer for each question. We're going to rapid-fire, fly through all these, give our best takes and move the F on. With that said, are you ready to dig in?
Yes, and I love the name, Countdown O-tron 8008, or is that boob? You know, like when you type on a calculator as a kid and you thought that was hilarious? Yeah, it was 8008. Big fan, though, of the Countdown
O-tron. That wasn't that long ago for you. For me, it was eons ago, so.
Let's get into it.
All right, question one. Do either one of the Rosses, wide receivers John and Justin, ever become a contributor?
I will say, let me look. It's not really a ball, but it's a little crystal thing.
There you go. Is that like an amethyst or something?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know much about it. I'm not one of those science people, but I'll say no. I think Justin Ross has the higher chance. I think John Ross, frankly, I'm not sold on John Ross at all. I don't see him making the team, but Justin Ross, I think, has a chance. But it's a slim chance. I think the guy he has to really jump is Amir Smith-Marset, who no one's really talking about. And I think he also has to jump Justin Watson. The reason why I say it's Justin Watson is Justin Watson feels like he's very a carbon copy to an extent of MVS. They're very similar style players. I think MVS is more talented, but they're very similar style players. The issue is Richie James plays special teams. I don't think Justin Ross is going to be playing special teams, so I think Richie James' spot is more sealed. The issue is Justin Ross also plays special teams. Your fifth, sixth wide receiver, you're not getting a lot of snaps either way, so it's almost a necessity. Justin Ross is really going to have to shine. I'm rooting for him, but it's really a outside looking in situation for him in my eyes.
Yeah, they had him back returning some punts today. And I was just thinking, what are you doing? This guy has a serious spinal condition. He's, you know, barely getting over this very complicated stress fracture in his foot situation. Whew, I know this is kind of Bobby Scipio season where Chiefs fans latch on to an underdog receiver and put all their hopes and dreams in them. And I can see why they do it with Justin Ross. I mean, it's tempting, right? If you go back to his freshman year at Clemson, he looked like a top 10 pick. Now, he hasn't looked like that since, and it's been a long time since he looked good. I mean, we're talking about a presidential term, right? And even if he was the same guy, I'm not sure that outside clasher style really translates to the NFL as well as it used to. That kind of like, he's kind of like a slower Mike Williams. So hopefully he can get his full athleticism back and crack this roster. I'm going to be about as optimistic as I can be and say that he's going to stick around the practice squad. Someone's going to get hurt. He's eventually going to get a chance. And I think the upside for him is to carve out a wide receiver 4 or 5 role, like a Byron Pringle or DeMarcus Robinson. And he's going to be a guy through grit. We've seen that he has grit and determination. I mean, a lot of guys would have hung it up or you know, heard the doctor saying it's risky to play in your state. They would be doing something else, but not Justin. So, and I think given what he's been through, if he can stick in the league for 4 or 5 years and make some money and come back from that, that's a win for him.
I think what does help him is the fact that his style is a little different than anything currently on the Chiefs roster. He's not like Richie James. He's not like Kadarius Toney. He's not like MVS, not like Sky Moore, not really, but maybe a little closer to Rashee Rice.
Jody Fortson, maybe a little.
Yeah. And so, you know, the team could use a different style wide receiver, right? Cause they don't have that superstar. They don't have that do it all type of guy, the Mario, if you will. I don't have Tyreek Hill anymore. They don't have a guy who can do everything. So what you do is you find a guy who can do something. They excel at something and you find ways to exploit it on the roster, on the team, against certain matchups, obviously. So that is going his way. But I like your thought of the practice squad. That makes the most sense. We'll probably start there. He'll probably be in the practice squad to start the season. Very intrigued by him. But, man, again, you're talking his freshman year. You're talking 4 or 5 years ago now. That's a long time. You're starting to get into, Joshua Cando. Remember him at Florida State? Didn't he look good for a couple games? Like you can do that about a lot of players. It's the consistency that really makes these NFL guys who they are. Man.
Yeah, a lot of rust. And especially when they brought in, not a lot of people were talking about Richie James, but he flashed. I don't think he's going to jump Richie James, who had a really good year, a mini breakout in New York. Maybe he carves out a red zone role like they were kind of doing with Jody Fortson. I can see that. He's a ball winner. He's a big guy, has good ball skills. So let's keep rooting for him. We're not here to rain on anybody's parade. But we didn't even talk about John Ross in the 5 minutes. So that tells you all you need to know about John Ross.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's move on to question number two. Big Red says the roster won't carry a fullback this year. In the relatively near future, will that position be extinct?
I'm going to say no. I know my gut instinct was to say yes, but I don't think it's going to be extinct, maybe for certain teams, but I think there will be a decent amount of teams, 5 to 6, that will carry one for certain situations. Guys, like who's the 49ers fullback?
Juszczyk.
Yeah, Kyle Juszczyk. Like, that's a guy who's talented enough, he is going to stick around. The Ravens will keep a fullback based on how their offense is ran. Maybe you'll see a tight end fullback hybrid. That might be more of the way of the future. But I do think a handful of teams will keep a fullback around. It's all based on the type of offense you currently run. I mean, the Eagles could use a fullback too when they use their little scrums, right? They kind of put someone back there anyways. Certain teams will keep a fullback around.
Yeah, that Shanahan tree is really breathing life into this position. I think Andy Reid is once again forward thinking. He drafted someone like Noah Gray, knowing that at Duke, he did a little bit of everything. He was kind of an H-back. He just wasn't a tight end. He played some fullback. They split him out. They move him all around. And I think if you look at Michael Burton, I mean, he just did not get enough snaps to rationalize a valuable roster spot. You only have 53. Now, I guess they're saying you can now have a third quarterback without burning a spot, which is good. But I still think that roster spot is too valuable to give to a fullback. And the game
in this offense, yeah. But again, yeah, like Phantom says, you know, a run-heavy offense like the Eagles or the 49ers, the Ravens, I mean, that makes sense for them to have a fullback.
Now, the Ravens have a new offensive coordinator, so they're not going to be throwing wheel routes to converted defensive linemen now playing fullback like they did last season. I can't remember that dude's name, but
Ricard.
Patrick Ricard. Exactly. The thing that that tends to happen in the NFL is when everybody is zigging, somebody comes in and zags, right? We've seen Belichick do it. We've seen other coaches do it. So I think eventually, as the league becomes more spread out, more finesse, some coach is going to go back to ground and pound, you know, maybe more than we've seen right now with the Titans and the Ravens and the Niners, some of those run heavy teams that have had some success. The Eagles, I don't know how you classify that team. They're almost a perfect mix.
Yeah.
So, but I think Andy Reid is done. That's what is important to Chiefs fans and Chiefs Kingdom, is that this is kind of a watershed moment for Andy Reid's coaching. I mean, he's evolving.
Yeah, I do think Andy Reid is done with a fullback, at least with a traditional fullback. I think someone like Blake Bell, someone like Noah Gray, they'll line up as a fullback. Hell, Jerick McKinnon, he's such a good blocker. I know he's a small dude. Like, Jerick McKinnon is a small cat, but he is such a good blocker, at least what we've seen in pass protection. It might not translate the exact same to run blocking for a running back, but again, that might be a way the Chiefs go. Again, it saves you a roster spot. We talked about it last year. I was sitting here saying, why do the Chiefs have a traditional fullback on this team? You could use your fourth
tight end. For 3rd and 1, baby.
That you didn't actually pick up. Wasn't great.
Nope.
So, again, the game evolves. You mentioned it. Andy Reid is evolving because his offense is run differently.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of other things you can do. I like that you mentioned Jerick McKinnon, and it's not – how does the old quote go? It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. I mean, he
okay,
is –
okay, Rudy.
Hey, you watch
– got any Hoosiers clips for us?
Jerick McKinnon –
this goal 10 feet tall.
Hey, I'm not even a running backs guy. Everyone knows that. But Jerick McKinnon tugs in your heartstrings. What he's been through – to come on like he did at age 30. I mean, it's inspirational, but I do agree with you that it's done.
Yeah. Well, we the countdown-o-tron. Yeah. Countdown-o-tron. You can save those 20 seconds. You have them. Let's move on to number 3.
Can we bank those like free agency or, I mean, salary cap?
I don't know if it rolls over. Like, remember, like the old minutes on your AT&T or whatever those old phones when you had the rollover minutes.
Right, right.
Can we have rollover minutes? I don't know.
We could use on this one. This is a very tough question. Andy Reid is 65. Now we stand a big boy king, but he's admitted that the cheeseburger diet kicks his ass. So how long will he coach for, and who will replace him? I don't think we talk about this enough. I have thoughts. I want to hear yours first.
When does the NFL go under? Because that's when Andy Reid's done, baby. He's around forever. He will never leave. I actually don't know how many more years he'll have. I'd probably say 5. I mean, frankly, he loves football. Like, he lives and breathes football. As long as he is healthy enough, he will be here. Like, he's a great family man as well, obviously, but it'll be a holiday and dude's just in the office trying to come up with a game plan. It's what he does. So I assume he'll be around a long, long time, at least as long as he possibly can. I'd say 5+ years, 5 to 7. So that means who will replace him? I don't know. You know, the thought was Eric Bieniemy. Well, Bieniemy's gone. You know, Matt Nagy right now is the quote unquote next in line because he's the OC, right? He had a head coaching opportunity with Chicago. Hell, he was coach of the year, right? I mean, it's not like Matt Nagy's a bum like people want to make him out to be when he was in Chicago. They had Mitchell Trubisky at quarterback. No bleep, it didn't work well. It's not Mahomes, but I digress. I don't know because I think we are still so far out from him retiring that we'll have a completely new batch of OC QB coach from here on out.
Yeah, I think it's a health thing. I mean, I'm into my 40s now, and I'm carrying weight I didn't used to, and I'm not as surprised I used to be. Not all of us age like Pete Carroll. You know, I'm convinced Pete Carroll will coach till he's 90, Andy's a little bit of a different situation. And also keep in mind, if they repeat, if they three-peat, or even if he wins two more championships in the next 5 years, what more does he have to prove? Now, he can try to catch Don Shula for most wins of all time, but that, as Verderam and Patrick went through last Thursday, that's going to be kind of hard to do. So let's talk about outside of the kingdom. Because,
well, really, really, really quickly, you said he doesn't have much to prove. I don't think Andy Reid right now is in the business of proving anything to anyone. Again, I think it's because he likes football so much. You know, when people retire, they have no idea what to do, so they just sit on their couch. I think that's what he would do. He doesn't want to do that. He loves football. It's his hobby. It's his job, but also his hobby. So, again, I think as long as he is healthy enough, he's going to coach.
Yeah, he's a sicko. I mean, I come from a family of football sickos myself, so I understand it. But let's just theoretically say 4 or 5 years, he does everything a coach can do, and he bows out. And Clark Hunt isn't really comfortable with Matt Nagy for whatever reason. Eric Bieniemy is gone, and Kafka is also gone. So he starts looking outside the kingdom. And theoretically, we have Patrick Mahomes. We can have any coach we want. So let's say Sean McVay gets burned out in Los Angeles and he joins one of these networks and they're trying to make him into the next Madden. Or Kyle Shanahan doesn't win a Super Bowl because he never has the quarterback. And he gets into an Andy Reid situation where, you know, 9, 10 years in, he hasn't won a Super Bowl and they part ways. They like mutually part ways. One of those guys, would one of those guys be a fit for the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes? And, you know, the last time Clark Hunt made a hire like this, he went out and got Andy Reid. He would not let him leave the tarmac because Arizona was hot on his trail. So I do not think that the Hunt family is just going to turn over the keys to the Mahomes Ferrari to just anybody.
Yeah. Jeff Saturday? No, I'm kidding. By the way, if you hear that noise, it was not my stomach rumbling. That is thunder outside my house. Just throwing that out there for everyone. But
it's
again,
ominous discussion. That's why the thunder is coming in.
Yeah, that's why. Again, I think Andy has 5 to 7 years still left in him. I think the guy I'd be most intrigued about is Doug Peterson. Quite frankly, if Doug Peterson, even if the Jags are doing well.
More than Shanahan? It'd be crazy to have a Shanahan coaching the Chiefs for one.
Sure. But I do think Doug Peterson, known as a, you know, an offensive minded coach, a QB whisperer, if you will.
Similar system.
You know, he's won a Super Bowl. If you're trying to go for a, you know, big swing post Andy, but he's also not a young cat either. You know, he's not a young dude in his own right. So, man, it's tough projecting 5 to 7 years out. Honestly, I like your take better than mine. I feel like I'm being too conservative over here.
Yeah, Shanahan is kind of enticing to me because he's kept Brock Purdy, Jimmy Garoppolo, those guys in the top five in EPA. You just kind of think, what in the world could he do with Patrick Mahomes? Let's move on to question number four. Flash forward 2 years. Kadarius Toney has played 4 years in the NFL, Sky Moore 3, and Rashee Rice 2. What does the wide receiver pecking order look like heading into 2025?
Ooh, that's a good one.
It's tough.
Man. I'll say Kadarius Toney 1, Rashee Rice 2, Sky Moore 3. And that's not necessarily like snap count. I think they're all going to be right in there. But I think Kadarius Toney is going to be a legit outside threat. If he stays healthy, I think he's a legit outside threat. Rashee Rice, same mold, I think is more of an outside wide receiver. Sky Moore, I think you put in the slot and you use him. Again, I keep comparing him to like Deontay Johnson. Like I keep comparing him to a guy who's going to be a lot of catches.
Good
not
player.
A lot of deep, not a lot of deep throws, but a lot of those like, you know, 6 to 8, 6 to 10 yard routes.
Jarvis Landry, like a little pop
Jarvis Landry.
Receiver.
Yeah, like a Jarvis Landry. And again, it depends how you're going to break it down. I think Kadarius Toney will be, if he's healthy, the number one. And then Rashee Rice, Sky Moore, whatever you want to break it down as. I think the snap share will be very, very similar.
I have a different view on Rashee Rice. So he was number one in yards per out run against the zone last year in all of college football. And you look at him as a prospect. Now he's got more burst than Juju did, and Juju was a little bit more polished, but just the numbers, it's kind of striking how similar they are. So I think they're going to use him as a power slot, which is kind of in vogue in the NFL right now. You're seeing that with the Cooper Cups of the world. I think Kadarius Toney is a guy that can win anywhere, and they're going to move him around and try to manufacture touches for him. But I think people are kind of limiting him. He can separate. He can win downfield. Sky Moore. Gosh, I feel like I'm going Toney 1, Rice 2, and Sky Moore 3, but I feel like I'm selling Sky Moore short. But we've also seen the most from Toney in the pros. Rashee Rice had a really productive season last year, playing against a little better talent than Sky Moore played against in college. And we've seen some flashes, but we just haven't seen enough flashes for me to project Sky higher than those two.
I'll go ahead and say I think Sky Moore would have the most receptions of the three. I'll say this year. I think this year in 2023, Sky Moore has the most receptions out of him, Toney, and Rashee Rice.
Is that because of Tony's health, or he just
partly Toney's health?
Okay,
partly Toney's health. But I think he's going to get a lot. Again, not most yards,
right?
Not most 20-yard plays, but most receptions. I think he's going to thrive in that 6 to 10 yard range. How you are with Rashee Rice filling in for Juju, I'm kind of doing the same thing as the zone killer with Sky Moore. Sky Moore also is an incredible route runner. That was his calling card coming out of college. I understand it standards against lesser competition, but route running, I think, can translate, right? If you can run some routes, you can run some routes. Mecole Hardman couldn't do it at Georgia. He couldn't do it in the NFL. It doesn't matter if you're a big time or small school. If you can do it, you can do it. I think Sky Moore can do it. Rashee Rice, I guess you and I have just slightly different viewpoints on this.
I think the whole draft industrial complex had a hard time putting their finger on Rashee Rice. He's a really confounding player. Anyway, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, because I had him more on the outside because he's such a good jump ball winner. And that's why I kind of had him more on the outside was he loved playing jump ball at SMU. I think he's going to like doing it in the NFL. I don't think MVS is going to be here past this season. So then you have your other outside guy, your jump ball winner.
Yeah, I think Sky separates against man a little better than Rashee does. So that's why I think Sky, despite the size difference, is going to be better outside. And Rashee is going to be better inside because I just have more faith in Sky as a separator. He's got a really great package of release moves. So I have a lot of confidence in him there. The really great thing about this conversation is we're sitting here almost 5 minutes in and we really don't have a resolution. Like we are having a hell of a time picking which one of these guys is going to be the best long-term. And I think that says that they're going to be a really effective trio for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Dude is 6'1" with a 41 inch vertical. That's ideal. I will say, I apologize for my dog barking. Second day in a row, happened yesterday as well. I don't know why UPS loves to come when I'm doing a podcast. I'm very much considering getting a sign above the door that it's like on air, like a radio sign that says on air, off air. I might get one of those.
And there we go. Question number 5, who is the starting left tackle during the 2024 season? Juwan Taylor, Donovan Smith, Wanya Morris, Lucas Niang, or someone else?
I am going to go with Donovan Smith. Don't know if it's a hot take. Don't know if it's the mild take. Talking to Tim Grunard, his sources with the Jags basically said, Juwan Taylor is not a left tackle. That's just not his game.
This is 2024, not 2023.
Don't care.
Okay.
Oh, you're saying 2024.
2024, yeah.
Okay. No, because Donovan Smith will not be here in 2024 if I'm a betting man. I will say I think Wanya Morris then has a better chance of – I'm going to say someone else is the best option, best percentage-wise, but I don't want to count out Wanya Morris just quite yet. I think Wanya Morris has a better chance of playing left tackle than Juwan Taylor. Now, you might be asking yourself, Sterling, why is that? Here's why. as a freshman. He was all freshman SEC at Tennessee. He was a five-star recruit coming out of college. He had the production to back it up his freshman year. And then what happened? Well, he was a left tackle freshman year. Then he went to Oklahoma. Well, coach goes to USC. Lincoln Riley's gone. Now it's a new system. Anton Harrison's there. He's at the right side. A new coach, new system. Had to learn it all again. He had what a quote-unquote down year last year, right? But we saw what happened to Baker Mayfield. It's very common. How does he get a pass for that in the NFL while in college Wanya Morris did not? I think Wanya Morris has a better chance of playing left tackle based on his pedigree, based on his athleticism, than I do of Juwan Taylor. Now, I know Juwan Taylor's an athletic freak. I know that's what his calling card is, but I'm going with what I've heard from my sources, especially with Tim Grunard. Man, if they don't see it, they were pros. I'm not a pro. I'm going to go with their viewpoint over mine.
The further you get into your pro career, having exclusively played a tackle on one side or the other, the more difficult it is to relearn the opposite footwork and kind of adapt to that position. So I just think Juwan Taylor, the more that I think about it, it's not optimal to move him at this point in his career when he's 25 or 26 and never done it before. Wanye, I like that. I'm going to go someone else. Donovan Smith is a one-year rental. That's fine. If he plays just average on the left side and the rest of the line brings it and plays stellar, Mahomes is the best in the league at avoiding sacks. His pressure to sack percentage is 9.8%. No other quarterback was under 10. And when you consider that his tackles allowed the most pressures in the NFL last year, he is very, very good at not getting sacked. So I think they're going to continue to figure this out as they go. They draft so late that it is a tough problem to solve when you're drafting 28 or 29 through 32 every year. And also left tackles that are in their prime do not hit free agency. It just really doesn't happen. I know that happened with Trent Williams. I think that was kind of, there were a lot of things working there.
I get you're saying elite, but the Chiefs had a really good one in Orlando Brown Jr. And I'm going to get bleeped on by this. People love hating on me for my apparently normal appreciation of a good player. I don't think he was elite or great, but I think Orlando Brown Jr. was fine. I mean, he was a good left tackle. There's a reason why he was the most sought after left tackle in the open market. There's a reason. You're not going to say everyone's wrong. He didn't fit the system or the scheme as well as you're hoping Juwan Taylor does, but you at least knew what you were getting with Orlando Brown Jr. They found ways to scheme around his inefficiencies, and it worked. They won a Super Bowl with it. Now you got to see whatever Juwan Taylor or Donovan Smith, you're hoping Donovan Smith bounces back for what he was a couple years ago. And again, there's reason to believe he will. But I mean, there's a lot more question marks now, especially in 2024, than there would have been if you would have given Orlando Brown Jr. $16 million per year. It also begs the question, would he be accepted at $16 million per year to stay here in KC? I mean, his teammates loved him here. Let's be real now.
Yeah, but I will say the contract he got offered last year and the contract he got this year, there was a steep drop off. I don't have the numbers in front of me, sure, but he made a massive error not signing that piece of paper when he had the chance. As far as Donovan Smith is concerned, I think he's going to benefit from playing next to Joe Tooney. But speaking of Joe Tooney, the further we get down into the future, if we no longer have Joe Tooney on the left side as our anchor, this position becomes significantly more important to figure out.
Yeah. Quickly. And again, I'm not saying Orlando Brown Jr. is worth whatever he wanted, but he was worth $16 million.
I think the league saw him as a right tackle. That's why it took a while for him to find a home.
Hey, time's up. He's worth $16 million. That's all I'm saying. Angry Drunken German says, do I need to be watching this or can I go change out of my work clothes and just turn up the volume? Well, if you want to see my smattering of a mustache, you will leave this on. It's not a full stash. It's not a full stash right now.
It's a baby stash. It's coming in. You have cycles, man. I never know what we're going to get with you.
I know. Sometimes I don't even know. I was shaving today. I just had kind of a little bit of a stubble, but this grows quicker. So I said, you know what? Screw it. We're going to leave this bad boy.
I feel you. I'm pretty seasonal. Like I can't do a beard in the summer, but question six. Over the rest of Patrick Mahomes' career, which AFC West rival will serve as KC's strongest competition? The Broncos, the Chargers, or the Raiders?
So we're not just talking about the next 3 years. We're probably talking next 10 plus. Yeah. Hopefully 10. Let's just say 10. We'll say a decade.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Broncos. The reason being is they have the money. I know there's a salary cap, but they can convert a lot of that to bonuses because they are so rich. They're very, very cash rich. The Raiders, I don't see it. The Raiders, no. Once they get out of the Russell Wilson contract with the Broncos, I think they're in a pretty darn good position. I would say Chargers, but man, can they keep Justin Herbert? They're going to try to, but they're going to have to really rebuild once Mike Williams, Keenan Allen. I mean, I'm going from an organizational standpoint. And from an organizational standpoint, I think starting in about 4 or 5 years, you're going to see the Broncos really have an upturn just because they have the money. I know they're talking about in the chat right here, the Chargers because of Justin Herbert, but the Broncos will be able to pay another quarterback. And that's what I think it comes down to. They'll be able to just pay for whoever they want.
Yeah, I'm taking the same approach that you are. I often like to bet on organizations when we're talking long-term and way into the future. And I just don't have any confidence in Dean Spanos and that front office. I do have confidence in Sean Payton, that new ownership. They showed right off the bat that they're not afraid to throw money at problems and spend big. And I think with Sean Payton there, they're going to have not only a direction, but an identity. They know who they are. I don't think the Raiders have any fucking clue who they are, right? And they have a head coach who people don't like. And they have an owner who is, you know, the model of a nepotism case. Like he has no business running an NFL franchise. So I think they're out. And then I think the Chargers, like, my worry with them is the same with the Bengals. Are they going to be able to spend and put a competitive team around Justin Herbert? And I think if you look at the young franchise star quarterbacks under the age of, say, what, 28, Justin Herbert is probably the most likely to leave because Mike Williams and Keenan Allen are getting long in the tooth. We don't know if Quentin Johnston will work out. Maybe he will. The rookie wide receiver from TCU they selected in the first round. But I just think, you know, you look what happened in the playoffs last year. That was a catastrophe. I mean, they had one of the biggest collapses we've ever seen. Probably the biggest one since the Chiefs came back on the Texans from 24 to nothing and put up 51 points on them. So I think we could see Justin Herbert in another uniform. I mean, I personally love that because he has, just from a physical talent standpoint, I would put him in the top five.
Yeah,
he's not on the same level as Allen and Mahomes, of course. And, you know, he doesn't have the speed of an Anthony Richardson or a Lamar, but he's on kind of that alien tier of athletic quarterback. So I want him out of here.
And maybe another team will actually let him throw the ball down the field. Like, that's what it keeps coming down to. How much does he want to stay with the Chargers organization if they're going to keep acting like he's Matt Schaub? Like, it makes no sense to me. He's not a check down king. Let him throw the ball. The only time he does is against the Chiefs or typically other good teams when they need him to. And what's he do when they need him to? He completes it. So maybe getting a new OC will help him out, and maybe this will be the change he needs. But at some point, if he's going to be asked to only do this, he might want out either way, saying, I can have more success elsewhere. That also remains to be seen. I think the Broncos have the best organization as well, just from the top down. Obviously, not the Chiefs, but they've stayed in Denver. They have a loyal fan base. They care. Vegas doesn't have the same fan base they had in Oakland. No one cares about football in L.A. I mean, hell, there's a chance the Chargers could move by then. Like, I wouldn't even be that shocked. Like, if you said, yeah, the Chargers are going to back to San Diego, like, I wouldn't be that shocked. I mean, seriously, though, I wouldn't be. So I'll go Broncos. And they still won't have won a game against the Chiefs.
I think one of the things with Herbert that we're going to have to see this year with Kellen Moore as the new offensive coordinator and Quentin Johnston brings a little bit more speed to the table. How much of the dink and dunk was Joe Lombardi? And how much of it is just who he is? Does he have a little bit of an inner Alex Smith there? Moving on. The timer has spoken. So question seven. We're on seven, right? Yep. The 2027 season has just finished. Both Felix and Adike Uzama and George Karlaftis have played at least 5 years for the Chiefs, assuming their fifth-year option was picked up. Who became the better pass rusher?
Karlaftis. I was in on him before the Chiefs drafted him. I'm in on him now. I never understood the people that said he didn't have a high ceiling because he kind of is who he is. I get his style doesn't bode well for this massive ceiling. I understand, but he was so young. He was so young. I'm all in on George Karlaftis. I like FAU too. I think both are going to be very valuable guys. I don't think either of them turn into a Bosa brother or a Watt brother by any means, but I think they're both very valuable pieces. And by the way, the Chiefs have two of the best deals in football, having, frankly, two starting edge rushers on rookie contracts. That's where you spend 20 plus mil per year on a guy. The Chiefs have two rookie contracts at those spots, and rookie contracts at, you know, pick 20 and pick 30, 31, right? That's huge. This is one of the best bargains in football, but I'm going with Karlaftis. I'm all in on him.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting if those guys' careers go on long enough in Kansas City that they no longer play alongside Chris Jones. We've seen when guys leave Los Angeles playing alongside Aaron Donald, they look like a shell of themselves, because that's kind of the, you know, he has gravity, right? Aaron Donald takes so much of the attention off his fellow pass rushers. So I think they're in a good situation playing alongside Chris, who I hope is going to be here. We will get to that more later. I'm going to go differently than you. I'm going to go FAU because I just think he has more tools in his toolbox. He's a little bit more bendy. I think he has a better arsenal of pass rush moves already than George probably has, even after his rookie season. And people have been, I mean, people really have been sleeping on both these guys their entire lives. And they have, again, not to go too Rudy, but inspirational stories. I think both of them, you know, would tell you to keep underestimating them, and they're going to keep exceeding expectations. And I like having, you know, we're the franchise that had Tamba Ali. So we love that kind of edge, that kind of overachiever with a crazy motor. And both of these guys have that. It's a really tough choice, but I'm going FAU again because I just think he can win more ways.
By the way, Karlaftis was drafted at 30th overall. I don't know why I said 20th. I know McDuffie was 18. Karlaftis was 30th. So 30 and 31, again, great rookie contracts, all things considered. I will say this. Again, I'm with you. I think FAU is more athletic overall, you know, more bendy, if you will. But if you want to look at the next gen stats score breakdown as far as them coming from the NFL Combine into the NFL, Karlaftis was actually ranked 1 point higher, 78 athleticism score, FAU 77. I think Karlaftis is.
Is that because FAU did less testing?
I actually can't find any testing for FAU, and I find more for Karlaftis. Yes.
Yeah, he skipped. I think he skipped a lot of it.
Karlaftis had a 38-inch vertical. Karlaftis had a 38-inch vertical.
It's that water polo, you know?
266. My point is, it's not to run down FAU. That's not what I'm trying to do right now. But what I'm saying is, I think Karlaftis is more athletic than people think. He's more athletic than people give him credit for. That's all I'm trying to say. People keep acting again like he was a finished product. I'm like, no, he is not. Just because he's this big white dude doesn't mean he's not athletic. Like, this guy has a 38-inch vertical at 6'5"? I mean, 6'4", 266. It's incredible. Again,
Karl, I love that Flapjack City says he has a 13-inch vertical. He has a Flapjack vertical, you know? What do they used to say? Your vertical is a stack of pancakes, right?
A stack of pancakes.
There you go. They're young guys. They're young guys who, especially Karlaftis, the thing you have to remember is he hasn't played football for that long. coming over from Greece. So I agree with you. When people say he's a finished product, I think that's a little presumptuous, and I don't agree. But I just feel like FAU has more ways to win, and that's why I'm going with him. Mm-hmm. But again, the fact that this is such a close argument shows that we're going to have solid bookend edges for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Again, they are in a good spot. The Chiefs are in a great spot, great deals, great contracts, great value.
And we didn't even mention Charles Omenihu, who I'm very excited about.
Hey, pal, the countdown Otron Boob says it's over.
I was talking about Charles Omenihu, not one of the players in that question. So I think we'll let it stand. Question number 8. This is a fun one. Travis Kelce has posted 7 1,000-yard seasons in a row. How many more 1,000-yard seasons does his body have left? Did I say fun one? It's kind of a scary one, actually.
I will go with 3. I'll go 3 more straight. How old is he now? Let me look at his age.
I think he's 33.
33. I'll go 3 more. I mean, last year was basically his peak, honestly. Like, you look at it, there was no downturn in production last year. You can make the case that last year was basically his peak. So if you count, he has next year as well, and then you have a slight, slight downturn from 1,300 yards to 1,200, then 1,100, then 1,000. I'll say 3 more years.
He will be 34 in October. I don't like it, but I'm going to be a little bit more conservative. Father Time is undefeated. I think he's going to 2 more years at 1,000, but I think he'll still be a productive player 3 years down the road. You know, maybe an 800 yard guy, and then a 600, and just kind of eventually taper off. What I think Travis has that will age well is he just has that innate feel for the game. That isn't, you know, his success isn't just pure athleticism. I would say it's at least half his intelligence, how intuitive he is, just his feel for the game. And especially when he's playing with Patrick, because they have that kind of mind meld that is so rare that only the greatest of connections have. So, I mean, tight end is a position that does usually age gracefully. Mm-hmm. We don't often see a cliff with the greats at that position. Think about how long Tony Gonzalez played and Shannon Sharp and Gates and the list goes on.
I'm going to get to Tony G in 1 second. And he's not tasked to do what George Kittle and Gronkowski were tasked to do. That's why their bodies either broke down or continuously break down. The Chiefs have done a nice job. Well, yeah, he gets a ton of receptions, but they take care of him, right? They don't use him in these obvious run situations at the goal line. They're like, all right, if we do, you're going out for a catch. You're not going up and trying to block against a 285-pound dude, which is smart. Not saying he can't do it, but it's smart. It's saving his body for what he does best. You bring up Tony G. Tony G's last 1,000-yard season was actually his last year in Kansas City when he was 32. Then he had 867, 656, 875, 930, and then finished his final year at age 37 with 859.
Wow.
I will say this, though. The extra 17th game is going to help Travis Kelce. I mean, the 17th game is going to make it a little easier for the 1,000 yards. And again, I don't see him only having one more year of 1,000 yards when last year he had 1,338. I don't see that big of a decline. That's why I think I'm even being, you know, 1,200 this upcoming year, 1,100 the year after that, and then 1,000 the year after that. That's 3. And that's with a 100-yard decline per season.
Yeah, I might have just gone prices right and went one under you. With my strategy.
Did you say 1?
No, I said 2. I said 2. Okay. And I'm kind of regretting it now after hearing what Tony G did, because he played with good players. I mean, he played with Roddy White and then Julio Jones. Now what I would like to see from the Chiefs coaching staff is a little NBA, you know, maintenance rest, don't play him as many snaps. Maybe save him for the playoffs a little bit. Just be smart with Travis's body. You know, he's not, because I don't know that Travis, now maybe he can take himself off the field, but when he's on the field, he's not going to take it easy, right? So I think that may be one way to extend his career, to give him more longevity. But the good thing about Kelce is I think the way he's wired helps him here, because he's chasing ghosts. He wants to be known when he retires as the greatest to ever do it. I think he's looking at a huge entertainment career after this. So let's hope for three. Let's hope for three or four. I mean, that would be fantastic.
Angry drunken German. He can do that Axl Rose shoulder shimmy for 4 years or four more years. That upper body juke buys him separation. I'm with you. He can do the Axl Rose. And maybe he should sing while he plays. Could be great. November Rain, when they play November, could work.
Hey, as long as he has the Slash guitar solo in front of the chapel, you know, it doesn't matter how bad his singing is if he's got Slash backing him up. Question number nine. Oh, man. Will Chris Jones retire as a Chief?
Yes. Yes, and if you disagree, I will fight you. I will throw hands. I have a certain lack of skills, so I probably won't find you, and I probably won't fight you because I'll get my ass kicked. But I think Chris Jones.
You're the reverse retires. Liam Neeson, huh?
I think Chris Jones retires a Kansas City Chief. I think they find a way to get it done. I know he's a little bit more about his money than Patrick Mahomes is, at least from what we've heard in the media, right? We know he wants to be the second highest paid interior defensive lineman, which by all accounts is very, very fair. He's also 28 right now, going to be 29 when the season starts. You're probably looking at a four-year contract, so you're paying a guy like that at age 33. There's not a lot of precedent for dudes at that age playing interior defensive lineman, all of a sudden just still dominating. But I think he retires here in Kansas City. The Chiefs, I think, will take care of him. And I think Mahomes, what he said today, if that holds true, he might take a little bit of a pay cut to make sure Chris Jones and Legarius Sneed stick around for a long time here in Chiefs Kingdom.
I don't think we can compare other players to Mahomes. Maybe Kelce, but Mahomes is a household name. Somehow he's going to be making money off his brand, off his likeness 30 years from now. That opportunity is not available for Chris Jones. It is not available for 99.9% of the league. So we have to keep that in mind. Also, the bad guys in this conversation, I don't think they're bad guys, but to the Chiefs are the NFLPA. If guys start taking less that are stars and teams kind of anchor to that framework, everybody else in the league gets paid less too. You don't think that the Ravens were using Patrick Mahomes as a measuring stick to bring down Lamar Jackson's price, or the Eagles were doing that with Jalen Hurts, or, you know, the best quarterback in the game, the defending MVP makes this amount. So that's something to remember. I think Chris Jones, the biggest thing is that he wants to retire as a Chief. And we have seen some defensive tackles age fairly well. Now, Fletcher Cox, what is he, 32, 33? He's not what he used to be, but he was still a very, very good player, very important player for the NFC champion Philadelphia Eagles. So I think there is some hope. I think especially stars on the defensive line age pretty well. I mean, Von Miller just got a huge contract at 33. Now he got hurt, but he looked fantastic. And Chris Jones does.
Von Miller got injured right away.
He looked fantastic, and he had previous injuries. But I also think Chris Jones he's not built like your typical defensive tackle. I mean, there's a reason.
Adam Best is saying he's built different.
He is built different. There's a reason you see him with handles on the basketball court. There's a reason they experimented with a semi-full-time move, the defensive end. It's because he's just different. I mean, he has, he's just very incredibly athletic for that position. You just don't see guys like him.
I see Kip Karns in the chat says, I don't see it with what the Chiefs didn't pay for that long Neil Smith, or they don't pay for that long Neil Smith. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I've been a prisoner of this as well. I've been saying that the Chiefs don't pay cornerbacks. There's probably more higher likelihood than not that Legarius is gone. The Chiefs don't pay centers. What does that mean for Creed Humphrey? So I guess that would be a little hypocritical of me if I say, yeah, well, this is different because I want it to fit my narrative. So I get what you're saying. But that was, 30 years ago compared to 10. You know, new regime. New GM, obviously.
It was Carl Peterson and Marty.
I think they find a way with Chris Jones. I truthfully think this next coming contract is going to be a massive one, if not a record-setting contract. It's going to be potentially close. But after that's where it's going to get dicey. You know, is he going to take a couple of those team-friendly deals when he's 34, 35, 36? Jared Allen's another one he brought up as well. Again, we're still probably talking. That's probably 10, 12 years, 15 years ago now. Man, time's a bitch.
With him, though, I would compare him more to edges than defensive tackles, because if you look at his pressure rate, he's right there with Nick Bosa and Micah Parsons, despite getting doubled more than anybody in the league, twice as much as them. I feel like we could do another 15 minutes on this, but we don't have it. Boob has spoken. So we're at question 10, the end of the road. How many more rings does Mahomes need to win for the rest of his career to be considered a success?
Zero. He doesn't need to win
a success
anymore.
To Chiefs fans, gratifying, zero. Meeting expectations.
Oh, meeting expectations, I'd say two more. But I think in the grand scheme of things, zero. I mean, if he keeps putting up numbers, he's won two Super Bowls, been to three, won a couple MVPs already. I don't think he has to win another one to be considered a success. Now, if you want to say compared to like Tom Brady, then yeah, he's going to have to win four more. You know, he's going to have to put up a lot more Super Bowl dubs, a lot more rings on those hands. But as far as just a general success, man, picture 10 years ago, picture 5 years. No. Okay. 7 years ago, like if you would have said you'd get a quarterback for 20 years and he wins two Super Bowls, would you take it? You get a quarterback for 15 years, he wins two Super Bowls, would you take it? You 100% say yes. How many did Peyton win? How many has Aaron Rodgers won? How many did Drew Brees win? Tom Brady has been the outlier throughout history. How many did Dan Marino win? Like the list goes on and on. Man, I don't think he has to win another Super Bowl for this to be considered a successful career for Mahomes. I don't think so.
You probably haven't seen the movie yet, but Air, the Michael Jordan story? No. Matt Damon's character gives a speech at the end about immortality and Michael Jordan, and there's all this stuff about him just being different and being a killer. And I couldn't help but think about Patrick Mahomes when he was giving that monologue. I just think he is different. He is different than anybody we've ever seen. What's so special about him is he does the freakiest stuff we've ever seen on the football field. All the crazy, out of structure, creative nonsense that he pulls out of his ass and makes it look beautiful. Nobody else can do that. But also, he does all the quarterbacking things. He's incredibly smart. He doesn't make mistakes. He's almost impossible to sack. Doesn't have a lot of turnover worthy plays. And he's just almost impossible to stop. And I think the way he was brought up, the way he approached the game as soon as he got into Kansas City, the word is different. So I think two is the minimum where I wouldn't be disappointed, given that he's won two in his first 5 years as a starter. I think it is realistic to presume that he can play to about 39 at least.
I'm not saying successful. You're talking legendary. I see that what Jerome says. I think that's a good point. Agree, Sterling Patrick is successful. He's working on legendary. Yeah. And that's what it is. He's already been successful. If you're going to talk legendary, then yeah. If you want to talk in the pantheon of Tom Brady, then yeah. But I'm talking just from a successful standpoint. Do you think the Packers would give up Aaron Rodgers that knowing they only won one Super Bowl to Aaron Rodgers? Do you think they would say no?
I don't think they'd say no, but I know for a fact because I married into a Packers family, that they are disappointed with the way it turned out, that they expected more, that when he won his first championship in 2011, they thought, we're going to win at least two more, mm-hmm. you know, and they didn't. He didn't win any. But
I know it is.
But like Rodgers, you know, Rodgers basically won an MVP at what, 38? So I think we can expect 38, 39. I think we can expect at least another 12 years of Mahomes. And hopefully he's in his prime for 10 of those. And so far, he's basically won a ring every other year. Mm. And the years he doesn't win one, he comes, you know, damn close. So yeah. We've already seen it established that he will be there at the end, at least the end of the AFC Championship every single year.
Yeah,
I don't see that changing anytime soon.
If the over-under is 2.5, I'm taking the over. Like for Super Bowl one in his career, I think the over-under is set at 2.5. I'm taking the over.
Me too.
3.5, I think it starts getting pretty close.
Yeah. Man, this is a crazy situation. Other fan bases would cut off limbs to be in our situation, right?
I do think that the same conversation was had with Rodgers early on after that first win. How many more are they going to get? Sometimes I just like to say, pump the brakes. Let's let it play out. I don't want to take what's going on for granted. Don't just all of a sudden fast forward to the playoffs. I don't want to be a Patriots fans. I want to enjoy the moments. That's why I'm saying, you know what?
You want to savor your wine a little bit, stick your nose in it, you know, smell it. But Rodgers didn't, you know, he didn't have two. He didn't have two so early in his career. Russell Wilson didn't. I think it makes him really different. The fact that he got that second one gives me confidence.
We got a super chat from Bumpa BB. Thank you so much for the super chat. Appreciate you. Question is, thoughts on our safety core? Mike Edwards is a third safety. Justin Reed is good. Is Brian Cook ready to be a starting safety?
Time will tell, I think.
I would assume it's going to be Mike Edwards and Justin Reed to start the season. That'd be my best guess. Brian Cook is a rotational piece.
He's a dime guy, right?
And even if you wanted to dime for sure. And even if you wanted to put in Chamari Connor, I mean, the safety group is deep. And that's been the talk of all offseason is how deep this entire defense is at all facets. I mean, there's a lot of good linebackers, a lot of good guys in the defensive line, a lot of good players in the secondary. I'm very happy with the safety room right now.
Yeah, me too. Just you look at the Tyreek Hill trade and the draft picks it created, the salary cap space it created, and it really allowed us to reload defensively in a way we were in dire need of kind of reloading that defense. It was getting old. It was getting slow. So, you know, exit Daniel Sorensen, exit the Honey Badger, who looked like he had no interest in tackling anymore. I love Tyron. He's one of my favorite personalities ever. I will be forever indebted to him for changing the culture of that defense and delivering a championship. But, you know, he was making business decisions and he did not look good that last year. So I think, you know, Justin Reed is entering his prime. We've got an athletic young set of safeties. I think they'll do just fine.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, we touched on it a little bit earlier on the show, but I'll hit it right now for Benjamin. He says, who's going to be the starting tackles week one, left and right? I will say week one, we're going to see Donovan Smith this year as a starting left tackle, and we will see Juwan Taylor as a starting right tackle. Best guess, unless someone just shows up and shows out, whether that's Wanye Morris at left tackle. But besides that, I'd be shocked. I think Juwan Taylor at this point is going to be entrenched as your right tackle.
Wanye Morris is going to have to come in like a Trey Smith or Isaiah Pacheco and just, you know, blow the coach's socks off to take a grown man's job. You know what I mean? I'm not saying it's impossible, especially if Donovan Smith is shot. I just don't expect it. I'm with you. I think it's going to be Juwan Taylor on the right and Donovan Smith on the left.
Can we also say, what a lame saying, blow someone's socks off. I say that all the time too. And it's like, you think of some of these.
Man, you are just pummeling me today. It's incredible.
No, I'm not making fun of you. Cause I say the same thing too. Trust me, I'm not making fun of you, but sometimes, you know, when you hear, what do you call that?
Idioms.
Idioms. Thank you. Gosh, idiot. I'm an idiot over here.
An idiom.
Yeah, but with idioms, you ever wonder like where they come and blow someone's socks off? You're like, ooh, I don't want to do that. I hope those socks stay on. Frankly, put shoes on, guy.
Yeah. Someone had a foot fetish. I mean, have you ever been on an airplane? Wasn't it
Rex Ryan? Like, who?
Quentin Tarantino? Have you ever been on an airplane and seen someone take their shoes off? It is disgusting.
Oh, we're throwing hands. No, we're throwing hands.
Yeah, that's an absolute no-no. But I agree with
you. Someone's losing chiclets. If someone does that, they are losing chiclets. There's no chance I'm letting some dude, you know those old foot fungus commercials, like, you know, with John Madden, the tough acting tenactin? Like, I'm just going to get a powder of that, throw it on their foot, throw it in their face. They're losing chiclets. Ain't no chance.
Yeah, but I agree that blow their socks off, blow your socks off. It needs to be out of the lexicon. That wasn't one of my finest moments. But sometimes you just have to roll with the cliches. Maybe we need a cliche alert on the show or something like that.
Least favorite one, chip on their shoulder. Pisses me off more than anything. If you're drafted first overall, I want to prove why I was drafted first overall. I got a chip on my shoulder.
Is it like a Tostito or what?
I said they should make one with Andy Reid with a legitimate barbecue chip on his shoulder. Put that on a t-shirt. That'd be pretty good.
I like it.
But like, it's so silly. If you're drafted second overall, well, I got a chip on my shoulder because I should have been number one overall. You're undrafted. I should have been drafted. I got a chip on my shoulder. Everyone does. It pisses me off. Silly.
I don't know that everyone does. Some people are kind of just, you know, shrug emojis. But we should have a segment where we just go through all the trite football expressions and lingo that have come up over the years and kind of just rip them apart. I think that would be fun.
Let's do it. Oh, I mean, it's a long off season.
It is. And did you notice, man, we were like 2 seconds away from 1 hour on the dot with our crystal ball segment. Perfectly timed, in and out. That's all we've got for you today on Wacky Wednesday. Until next week, I'm Adam here with Sterling and Richard. Go Chiefs.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.